If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And obviously, many of you recognize this morning's a little bit different in that we are back at home. And so there are very few people here at the church this morning, but it's still an opportunity for us to get together and worship our God and hear from His Word. And so it's been an interesting week for us, and so we don't know what next week's going to look like. We're still assessing whether we're going to meet in person or not, but coronavirus is nothing but unpredictable for us, and so we'll find out next week if we're going to meet next week. But we are going to continue this morning going through the fruit of the Spirit. And so like we said a couple weeks ago, these have been incredibly relevant. There's a reason that the fruit of the Spirit, they're relevant to all of life, but it seems most pressing, like right now, for whatever reason, all these things are like, oh man, that's perfect for what I'm thinking this week or what I'm at today. And so this morning, we're going to look at the next one. So we've already looked at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and this morning, what we're going to look at is goodness. We're going to look at goodness this morning. If you're Hello. I've been muted this entire time. That was my fault. It was working, but now it's not working. It is good now? Technical difficulties. That's our secondary name here at Normandale. That's Normandale / Technical Problems Baptist Church. So if you're still tuned in with us, I'll restate everything I just said. Summary. Here's the summary. This coronavirus season, and that just messes everything up. And so, welcome to Normandale. So we don't know what this is going to look like next week. Obviously, no one is here this week. Everyone is going, like Danny was like trying to figure out what was going on. That was my fault. I had my thing muted. Okay, so no one's here this morning apart from worship team and Danny and me. And so obviously it's different this morning because coronavirus is present. And so we don't know what next week is going to look like. So what we've learned about coronavirus is that it's unpredictable. So we'll learn next week as to whether we're going to have service next week or like in person or not. We're still debating that, what things are going to look like. Right now, the plan is not to cancel the in-person service every time there's a positive test. We would just let people know who are closest to that particular person. But things may change and that policy may change. We don't really know exactly what to do here. We're just trying to do the best we can. So for today, we decided to cancel in-person stuff. So with that, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So we're going to continue our series walking through the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you're new to the Bible, new to this series, new to Normandale, we've been walking through the fruit of the Spirit this summer. And this is based out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, in which these are the qualities, the attributes that the Spirit of God wants to develop into us. And so we've already looked at love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Adam preached on kindness last week. And so this week, we're looking at the next one, which is goodness. And so let's pray as we dig into God's Word this morning. And so, Father, come before You. And we thank You for Your Word. And we pray during this time when there's so many interruptions and so many technical difficulties and so many different issues happening in our lives and in the world, God, I pray that You would help us to tune in this morning to what You want to say to us out of Your Word and what You're desiring to build into us, to build into Your people, to become like You. And so help us to stop and just to take a second to meet with You, because that's what You desire, is for us to commune with You. And so I pray that You would help us to do that this morning. And so we love You. And open our hearts, open our minds to hear from Your Word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we're looking at goodness. Now, if you're looking at a lot of these qualities, if you're going to teach these things, sometimes some words can be more difficult to define than other ones. And goodness is one of those. Like you say, okay, let's talk about goodness. What does that really mean? So I had to get some help on this just to really look at, okay, what does goodness really mean? And how is it different than kindness or something else? And it's really closely tied to kindness. And so what goodness is, it's characterized by an interest in the welfare of other people. And so if your person genuinely has goodness in them, or if you want to express goodness, then what that means is you're going to care about other people doing well, succeeding, being cared for, having their needs met. And so it's an outworking of the first one, which is genuine love. And so if you really love other people, then you're going to experience goodness towards them and want to see them do well, or you're interested in their welfare. And so often, this is expressed through generosity. Often, goodness is expressed by being generous towards other people. Because if you care about where other people are at, if you care about their welfare, if you care about like them succeeding and them being cared for and they're taking care of their needs, then you're going to be generous towards helping to meet those needs. And so this can be money, it can be time, it can be concern, it can be energy. And so one example is this, is it's Saturday night. And you'd really like to just sit on the couch and watch Hamilton on Disney Plus. And that's like, man, all week I've been like, oh yeah, I'm going to go watch Hamilton. But then all of a sudden the thought pops in your mind about a friend who could really use this. Use someone just giving them a call. And so instead of sitting down and watch Hamilton, you realize this friend or this person is having a hard time right now. And so instead of watching that, I'm going to give them a call because I know that it would mean a lot to them if someone checked in on them. That is goodness expressed in our world. That's goodness in action. And so there's a great example of this in the early church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so if you have your Bible, turn there. If you've got your iPad or your iPhone or whatever it is, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because I want you to see this example of goodness within a local church body. And so before I read it, what's going on here? So Paul, who's the guy who wrote 2 Corinthians and wrote many of the books in the New Testament, he was traveling to different churches, and he was setting up a collection among these different churches. And so he'd go to Corinth, or he went to Thessalonica, or he went to these different churches, and he said, hey, listen, the church in Jerusalem, the mother church of all churches, these are where like the original Christians were, they are having a really, really hard time right now. They're being persecuted, and as a result, the church is incredibly impoverished. They're in poverty. And so they're struggling. They're struggling financially. They're struggling with persecution. And so what we want you to do is to get together to send relief to this church in Jerusalem. And so Paul starts to organize this collection. And so it's actually talked about in the Corinthians, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's talked about in the book of Acts. It's talked about in the book of Philippians. And it's talked about in Romans. And so Paul was going to go to Rome to get a collection going from the church in Rome back to the Jerusalem church as well. And then he was going to deliver it. And so Paul is encouraging the Gentile churches to send relief to the Jerusalem church. And so think about this. This is really similar to our cooperative program giving. So as a Southern Baptist church here at Normandale, like we recognize we're in this together with other believers. There are other Christians and other godly churches outside of Normandale. And we recognize that. And so when what we decide to do is we say, hey, we want to pull resources together because collectively we can accomplish more and do more for Jesus' kingdom if we pull all of our resources together, as opposed to just saying, we're going to stick to Normandale's thing and we're going to do what we can for Normandale. If you can pull resources from all over the United States or all over the world to a fund or to a certain hub in order to facilitate Jesus' working in the world through that, that's what we do through the cooperative program. And so, for example, we give away here at Normandale 11% of every bit of money we receive. So 8% goes to the cooperative program, which goes on to the IMB, the International Mission Board, to where we support and fund missionaries all over the world. Your giving does. And, or the North American Mission Board, where we support church planters working all over the United States to plant more churches in specific areas in the country. Or we support seminaries to train other Baptist pastors to go out and lead other churches to contribute and be part of the same thing in furthering Jesus' mission in the world. And our giving does that. 8% goes to that every year. And 3% goes to a separate missions fund for us. And so we recognize that we can accomplish more if we do it together. Well, that same program, the cooperative program type thing, is what Paul is setting up here among these other churches, saying, hey, listen, if we pull resources together and work together, then we can accomplish more in sending relief to the Jerusalem church. And so that's what he's doing. But next, I want you to see this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because there's an interesting church that's contributing to this fund that they didn't expect. Now, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia during a severe trial brought about by affliction. Their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Let me break down what he just said. Because among the people who are contributing to this fund, there is something happening that I can't explain apart from God working among these churches. And so what Paul just said is that in the region of Macedonia, which that would consist of the churches that of Philippi, which the book of Philippians was written to, the book of the church in Thessalonica, which the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, was written to, and the church in Berea, which you hear about in the book of Acts, chapter 16, I think it is. And so these three churches, they want to contribute to the fund. But look what Paul says about these guys. Verse 2, during a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. What he just said was they were experiencing great, great suffering. They were experiencing great oppression. And as a result, they were experiencing incredible poverty. They were experiencing the exact same thing that the church in Jerusalem was experiencing. Great oppression and great poverty. But look what happened among them. Because their poverty and their persecution led them to press into one another and press into following Jesus, which led to joy among them and led to a great desire to be incredibly generous towards other people that are in their same position. How does that happen? How do you get joy and generosity out of a point of oppression and persecution and poverty? How does that lead you to become joyous and generous? I have no idea, because think about for you and me. Often when we endure something hard, our reaction is to turn inward. Our reaction is to think about how awful we've got it and how we don't have time or we can't contribute to something else because I've just got to focus on me right now. Or think about this, like when you go to work or when you go to school and you haven't slept much that night because you were studying or because, and this is a dream world, like when you actually would go to work or go to school, but like you, when you would study all night or when you have a new kid or new baby and they're keeping you up all night, what do when you get with other people? You try to have a competition to see who is more tired. You're like, no, I'm more tired. I stayed up till like 4 a.m. last night. You're like, oh, I was up till 4:15. And like you start to like build up and see who can be the most tired. And the reality is no one's impressed by that. But we think it is. We think it's impressive in our minds if we're the one who's most oppressed or most tired or whatever it is. Like we start building these things up. That's what we do is we turn inward and we try to make everything about us and how awful our situation is. and we want other people to feel things towards us because of that. But look what happens among these churches is they're experiencing persecution and they are experiencing poverty, and that led them to have joy together and to want to be generous to other people in their situation. How does that happen? I don't know. Apart from what Paul says here in verse 1, because he says this, the grace of God that was given to these churches. And so these attributes, being able to develop within these churches as they're experiencing these hard times together, is a result of divine grace at work in the hearts of believers. It is God, the grace of God givenness, their goodness, their concern for this church in Jerusalem is a grace from God given to them. God's grace among them allowed them to have hearts like his. And so he's developing these things within them. And it's just that's crazy to me. So I want you to see four aspects about their goodness or about their generosity. I want you to see four aspects. And so this is the Spirit's work in their hearts to make them more like Jesus. And so look at verse 3. And he says this, I can testify that according to their ability and even beyond their ability, that's what they gave. So number one is they contributed far more generously than their poor state actually allowed them to do. They contributed more to this fund than what their current state actually allowed them to do. This is what Paul says. He says they gave according to their ability and even beyond their ability. So the goodness of God worked into their hearts and led them to hold concern and goodness towards another church who's across the ocean from them. And they said, you know what? We're going to give. We want to contribute towards these people because they're experiencing what we're experiencing. And we want them to have joy because of we want to be a part of them getting joy too. And so we said, we're going to give to that. But we're not just going to give what we think we can give. We're going to give beyond what we think we can give because we believe that God is good and he'll take care of us. That's a crazy thought for a church that's being persecuted and it's in poverty. They gave far more generously than they should have or than their current situation permitted. But the second thing is this. Look what else Paul says here. I can testify that, verse 3, according to their ability and even beyond their ability, they gave what? Of their own accord. So the first thing was that they gave more generously than we think they should have. The second thing is that they gave without anyone else telling them to do it. This was something that developed organically. Among this church body or these church bodies, they said, no. Like, Paul didn't go to them and say, hey, listen, you guys need to give to this fund because, you know, this is a good thing to do. No, they decided together. They came up with the idea and they said, no, we want to contribute to be a part of this. There was no prompting from anyone else. They said, we want to do this. And look at verse 4. Here's the third thing. And it says, they begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of the saints. They begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of the saints. They gave with great insistence. They begged Paul to be included in this generous gift. They begged him to be included, to be able to give away what they've got to this other church. And it's likely Paul wasn't going to include them in this at all. Like, it's very likely there was a reason they had to beg Paul to do it, because he was probably saying, no, y'all don't need to do this. You're in the same position as the Jerusalem church. And so he wasn't going to ask them to contribute to the fund. He needed to go to the Corinthian church, who had a lot more money to do it. That's why he's writing this letter to the Corinthians saying, look at these guys, they're contributing, so you need to do it too. But for these churches in Macedonia, he wasn't going to ask them to collect. but they begged him to be a part of it. But then here's the last thing. Look at this. In verse 5, and not just as we'd hoped, they gave earnestly, not just as we hoped, instead, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. Here's the fourth aspect about their goodness or their generosity towards this Jerusalem church, is that they didn't limit their contribution to financial aid. They didn't say, hey, okay, we'll just send some money and then let Paul kind of handle it from here. No, what they said to Paul was that we want to contribute financially. We want to be a part of this for this Jerusalem church, for their good. But we also don't want to end there. We want to be in this for the long haul. And so if you need to send someone, we're going to send someone out. If you need something else from us, we want to be ready and willing to send it out because we want to work for their good. They gave beyond financial means. They said, we want to be here with all of us. And so if you need something else from us, you let us know. Because we're ready to send people. We're ready to send whatever is necessary to help this church out. That's crazy to me, to have that level of concern for a church that's all the way across the ocean. And so I had an experience of this type of generosity. And so when I was at Northway, I was a youth pastor before coming up here, and when we found out we were going to have triplets, the church got pretty pumped about it. And at the time, I drove an extended cab, Ford F-150, and Dara drove a Honda Civic. And so you can't fit a lot of kids in those cars. And the church recognized that. And so they said, listen, these guys, they said, Mason and Dara, they're going to need some help in getting things rolling. And so the church themselves, it wasn't organized by anyone, but the church, several members of the church body began to organize a collection to be able to help fund a van for us. And so they weren't sure exactly how much was going to be given. They were looking at just different, you know, what we could get. And over the course of 2018, the church collectively gave us over $37,000 to be able to go and buy a van with cash and to be able to be set up with what we need for the boys. And when you're on the receiving end of something like that, like, how do you even respond to that? Like, how do you even say thank you? Like, that just feels like it's really small. And so we got that. We were incredibly grateful for that church, for those people, and for them having that sort of heart, that generous heart towards us. And they said, listen, these guys need to be taken care of, and so we want to be the ones who do it. And like even now, like thinking about them and that church, man, I'm so grateful for them and them having that heart towards us because we were in need. Like we needed something to help get our kids around and be set up with the boys and they stepped in to fill it. They had goodness expressed through their generosity towards us. And so to be able to live like this, to live by faith and display goodness in the world, it requires the work of the Spirit within us. Because this is something that just doesn't come natural to us. So if you look at the Macedonian church, like this is how they did it. Look at verse 1 again. It says, it was by the grace of God being given to them. God gave them this ability. And so where it's seen them acting in this generous manner, it's actually God's grace at work in and among them. And the motivation for these guys, the beginning point for the Macedonian Christians is actually Jesus himself. The beginning point of the Father's grace coming to them is based out of Jesus. And the Spirit's work begins with Jesus himself. Look at verse 9, because Paul comes down here and he says, listen, here's the baseline. Here's the beginning point of all of this, of all giving or all being good towards fellow believers. It starts with Jesus. Look at verse 9. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in the context, when you're talking about generosity or whatever it is, like, it's important to note this, that when he talks about being rich there, it's not all about money. It's not all about getting material things now. Like, if you believe in Jesus, the odds are it's probably not going to lead you to get a Mercedes or to get a bigger house or a boat to go out to the lake or whatever it is. Like, that, the point is not that. When he talks about becoming wealthy, he's talking about being wealthy towards God, spiritually rich. Look what this happens. So this is expressed through this incredibly poor church who's being persecuted. Like, these guys are the ones who believed in Jesus and they showed it, and they were the ones who God showed how to be wealthy. And you can see they didn't believe in Jesus and then get rich, get a car, get whatever it is. Like, look what happens. Look what he says here in verse 2. During a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed, catch this, in a wealth of generosity on their part. In a wealth of generosity on their part. They believed in Jesus. They believed in the gospel. And look where it led them, to be overflowing with wealth and generosity towards other believers. And so that led to God's grace. They believed in Jesus and the gospel, and that led to God's grace being poured out among them, leading them to hold goodness towards other believers, just like Jesus. And catch this, God desires to pour out his grace, the same wealth of grace among us, to make us rich towards him and filled with goodness towards other people. And so here's the question for you. Here's the question. It doesn't always have to do with money. It does, and many times have to do with finance. But it can also include energy, your concern, and your time. And so what money, what time, what concern, or what energy is the Spirit prompting you to invest in someone else? What is the Spirit prompting you to do to express goodness towards other people in the world? And here's the second thing is this week, as you're sharing what you heard this morning with a non-believer about God developing goodness within us, they might say, I can do good without God. I can be generous without God. I can do these things apart from generous. Like that's not, being generous is not exclusive to Christians or to you or to your church or whatever it is. Like we can all be loving or we can all be generous. And you might say, yeah, you're right. You can be generous. Like you can express these qualities at different points in the world. But what's different with Jesus is what we're working towards. What's different with Jesus is what we're working towards. Jesus gives us a purpose or meaning behind why we do these specific things, why we want to express goodness in the world. It's not simply to be a good person. Like, it's like, that's not in and of itself, like, that's not a good motivation to do anything. Like, but to become wealthy towards God, that's what we want to do. We want to become wealthy towards God to build up his kingdom here, because we know that this world's not all there is, but we want to store up treasure for our future with him. And so one day we're going to live with him, and so we want to become like him along the way. That's what we want to do. And so if this is compelling to you, and if you're listening to this and you've never met Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then if this is compelling, you can meet him. And you can begin this lifelong journey of becoming like him. And here's the truth, is that he loves you. He loves you, and he became poor so that you might become rich towards God. And so if you have questions about that, put that in the comments. Let us know. Jared's on his phone as our social media pastor, and he'd love to get information to get in touch with you. And so as the band comes up, let's pray. And so, Father, we come before you. And we thank you for sending Jesus to us to be our great hero, to come and to express goodness in this world in a way that we could never fully express or never fully understand. But I pray that you would lead us to grasp that and allow us to live in light of that, to become people who are good just like him. We want to express goodness to the people around us in a very sacrificial way. And so I pray that you would capture our hearts with that. And so help us this week to be mindful about where we can invest our money, where we can invest our time, our energy, our resources, our concern for other people. And so help us. And for those of us who are listening who don't know you, because there are some who are listening who don't know you, God, I pray that you would capture our hearts, capture their hearts, and lead them to hold life in you and become rich towards you and building towards a future with you to become like you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.